Sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on that? How y'all doing today? Hope everybody's having a great day. Happy hump day to you. What day is it? What day is it, huh? What day is it? It's hump day. That's right. It's the middle of the week. Two more work days to go. Two more work days to go for the majority of you. Now, I know there are some of you that works, you know, the weekend, whatever. Well, I'm sorry. However, I do want to say happy Wednesday to you. Hope everybody is doing well. And this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. All right, man. So it's been a great, great, great day so far. It's been a great week, man. I'm telling you. The show yesterday, man, I'm telling you, we really got into some things. We talked a little bit about the shooting in Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri. And we also talked about a curfew proposed. Well, it's not proposed anymore, actually. A curfew that is in effect in Baltimore, Maryland. And the responses that people had in those neighborhoods. We it was a nice conversation. We really had a lot of information passed and a lot of views were expressed, and we all did it in love. That's all. It's always beautiful. We can always do it with love. You know what I mean? Anyway, so that's what we talked about yesterday. Now, today's show, this is an open conversation, open forum, however you want to say it, you know, which I guess you can say every day is that type of show. But, you know, usually some days we have certain topics that we prefer to examine or stay on. However, today I thought we'd just have an open show. You know, we'll talk a little bit about sex education books in California that some parents feel are too graphic for the kids. And these children, these aren't kids now. These are children going into high school, freshmen in high school. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And of course, look, I know everybody's doing it. And and I'm be honest with you, every chance I get, I talk about it as well, because it is something that needs to be talked about, and that's depression. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We have the song of the day for you. We actually have a quote of the day. Wow, man, I'm telling you, we have a lot going on today. So I would like for you to come and join me and let me know what's going on with you and what thoughts you may have going through your head that you may want to share today. And you can do that on this show by dialing in 347-838-8622. You know, press the number one to speak. I see you in the queue, and I'll let you on the air live. However, if you're kind of shy and you don't want to say anything, but you do want to listen to the show, you can just still dial 347-838-8622 and just listen in to the conversation and to the show. Or you can send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. That's another way you can join us here on the program. Then there is our chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you can join us in our chat room where we always have a great conversation going on there as well. Now, if you do decide to come into the chat room, let me explain. If you come in as a guest, okay, you'll be able to see everything that is being said and the links and things that's being placed in the chat room. However, you will not be able to interact at all in the chat room. But if you come in with a login name or whatever you decide you want it to be, then you will have complete access. Okay, complete access to the comments and things in the chat room, and you can actually make comments yourself. So those are all the ways you can participate in the show. I just wanted you to know the differences of coming into the chat room as a guest, opposed to coming in, you know, with a username. Okay, so those are all the ways you can do that as well. Now, as in with the chat room and live call in, let's go on and get this straight right now. Let's go on and square this away for you. All right. When you call in or you come in the chat room, please act your age, okay? I mean, really, we don't have any cussing, fussing, fighting. We don't use the N-word. That is definitely banned. We do not have the B-word, the H-word. Okay, we speak to each other as adults. Okay, put it that way. You know, we're not about downgrading anyone, putting anyone down. We have conversations, and we may be speak loud and become passionate and what have you, but that's all it is passion. You know, and we do enjoy. We do have very spirited conversations sometimes, but the overall thing is when you call in, please make sure you act accordingly, okay? And just have respect for others, because I am going to require that they have respect for you. And that's all we ask, okay? All right, so with all that out of the way, man, I tell you, that was a lot. That was a lot today. I usually don't seem like it's that long, but there's a whole lot going on. But it's a shame that I have to say that every day. But I've realized if I don't give the rules or the guidelines to the show, somebody will try you. That's all I'm going to say. They're going to try you, and then, you know, you have to hit them in the head with a rock or something. So that's why I say it every day. And also, I just want to say it. I know y'all thought something happened to the sound now. Okay. But anyway, so once again, welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Mr. Talk. My co-host, Cloud Nation Radio, is out today, and he's doing this thing, and I got the helm, of course, because it's me, Mr. Talk. And so we're gonna go ahead and just see, we got a lot of things to talk about today. As I mentioned before, depression, sex education, and we may go back and cover we'll talk a little bit about the situation in Ferguson, Missouri, because I've been watching and seeing what's going on, and you know, my Facebook page has been blowing up with different things about the shooting, and it's amazing though how in a society that is supposed to be so colorblind, in a society that's supposed to be so Christian-oriented, or should I say religion-oriented, it's amazing how as soon as one thing happens, everybody is doing the blame game. It's doing the blame game. You know, now, of course, here you go. The Ferguson, Missouri, you know, the majority of the population is black. However, the majority of the police department is white. Okay, now what? So what overall, what does that have to do with anything? In that case, I can say the majority of the looters the other night, Saturday and Sunday, were black. Now what? That's why they can't join the police force. You understand? It's, you know, we go back and forth with this thing all day long. But the problem and the main thing here is a young man lost his life. And to add to that, a young black man, you know, beginning his life, getting ready. Do you hear what I'm saying? Preparing. He was supposed to start college this week. That's what we should be talking and worrying about. Not because the police force is white. So what? Majority of police departments are white, unless you live in a predominantly black area, say maybe Atlanta, or maybe Dallas, or somewhere like that. So let's not make too much of that type of stuff. Yes, I know. Well, man, I know you're missing the point. Yeah. So now we finna go through the whole Trayvon Martin situation all over again. And for what? Well, Mr. Hall, that's what we're trying to avoid. Are you really trying to avoid it? Or are you really trying to go back and are you trying to get things started all over again? That way you have something to say you started. Okay, so look, stop putting stuff like that on Facebook. I mean, just putting out there, because we know this already. We know this. Now, you have enough time to put that kind of stuff out there, you know, on your social media site. But what about the homeless individuals that walk around your neighborhood every day? Are you putting them out there to where they can get some help? Are you stopping and handing them a dollar or so? What about your homeless veterans that have nothing to eat? Are you going by and giving some time in the soup kitchen? How about that person in line in front of you that's struggling to pay for something, and you have more than enough money in your pocket, cash in your pocket to help them, but yet you just will talk about them, talking about that's a shame, cutting into the story. No, you ain't got enough money. Or do you go in your pocket and help them? See, sometimes some of us need to stop and take a look at us and quit trying to look at the world and find out what's wrong with the world, because there's a whole lot wrong with you. So, and I'm saying all this to say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because, you know, just because you placing that stuff out there, and you know, the funniest thing about that is you putting it on your Facebook page and you haven't checked to see if it's real or not. So, because someone else sent it to you. So you just thought you were forwarding it on. All right, that's what I'm saying. So quit doing that, man. You know, don't do that. Now everybody's upset because they won't release. They will not release the name of the policeman. You know, and I've given that some thought, and I wouldn't release his name either right now. I wouldn't. Because, you know, like back in the old, in the Western days, they had what you call lynch mobs. Not just the Western days, even back in slavery, they have lynch mobs. And you believe you me not, if someone was to find this officer's name, I'm sure you'd be able to Google it and zero it in to where he was. No, him and his family would be in danger. Now, I know some of you out there saying, well, he should have thought about that before he killed that 18, that black boy. Well, so that means he, an eye for an eye, a child for a child, basically, if he has children. Hello. But this is coming from a nation that is supposed to be such a religious, God-fearing nation. It boggles the mind. It really does. It just boggles my mind how we just go ahead and we go for that and we fall into it every time, every time. And why? Because this has become sensationalized. It has been on national television, and we are, wow. But you're not doing anything in your own neighborhood, are you? No. Hey, some of you haven't even been out your own city your whole life. But yet you can tell somebody else what's going on in their city, their state. Yeah, it's just, it's amazing. It really is. Amazing, yet it's perplexing. Because, yeah, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Now, as I said before, it was just a matter of time before the poverty pimps would show up. And then now they have a poverty pimp lawyer. Now, this attorney that they have, you know, number one. If he's going to be in front of cameras, I think somebody need to give him some speech lessons or something, okay? Number two, in the Trayvon Martin case, what did he really do? It seems like he's the ambulance chaser. He's just a more high-profile ambulance chaser. You know, oh man, this is big. I can make some money, you know. And that's all it is, you know. Wow. But I do not see him or Al Sharpton standing anywhere in Chicago. Heck, the president won't even do anything about Chicago. He is supposedly is from there. You know, they have all kind of they have murders and homicides. What about New York? What about Miami? What about New Orleans? Los Angeles? I don't see them showing up there. Oh, man, I forgot, because we're killing off each other. As long as we're killing off each other, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Black folk, we need to get our stuff together. We really do. I'm just talking on some things I've seen, you know, on my Facebook page, on other pages. You know, and I'm sure This is just the beginning, because there is always someone else is going to try and get something else started. Did y'all realize there was a case in New York, upstate New York, where a black man shot a white kid who was trying to break in his house? Have you did you hear anything about that one? Where were these so-called civil rights activists and things of that nature trying to help protect this black man? No, because the kid was trying to break in his house and he shot him. But the black man had to stand trial. Where was Al Sharpton? Where was Jesse Jackson? Where was this attorney here? Freaking ambulance chasers. That's what they are. Poverty pimps. Mm-hmm. Poverty savers. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. I'll be honest with you. That is what they are. You know, taking advantage of the low-income people during tragedy. Let's be honest. If something was to happen to one of your children, and God forbid anything like that does, your frame of mind is really not to deal with, you know, because you're traumatized. Your brain is just you're in a funk because, number one, you cannot believe that your child is gone. Now, you have some slick-talking attorney knocking on your door saying, if we can get money off of this, and if we can do this, but we got to do this, Man, people are just like, man, whatever. Just do whatever. Because you're not really, you wouldn't be really thinking. Because you have started what they call the grieving process. And these guys, they swoop right on in. They swoop right on in like vultures and take advantage of it. Now, I'm telling you, these jokers, when they swoop in, they're not just swooping in cheaply either. So if you have a low-income family, a family that was just barely making it, who's going to pay those attorneys? Because, you know, it's more than just one attorney, you know, it's a group of them. Who's going to pay them if their kinds lose the case? Now, let's be honest. You did not ask for them. They came to you. Y'all see how this? They take advantage of you know, situations and people that has traumatic events happen to them. And then what they do, they get you on, they make you stand up in front of a camera and hold a picture of your child and say things like, he was a good child, I don't know why you shot him, and you're not really realizing what you're saying. Or the persona and thing that you're putting out there. But they know what they're trying to do. Built up sympathy. Build up sympathy. Look at this thing. It is sad. But we must keep an open mind also. Now, I know we've supposedly heard from witnesses that said this happened, that happened, and that's it. Now, and then we heard the police, the law enforcement say this happened and that happened. Well, and of course, us being human, we have prejudged or exactly what we think happened. Not on that situation right there, but on previous situations that has happened. Is that fair? No. Not at all. But we do it all the time. So what I'm asking is, let's just sit back, exhale a little bit, and see where the investigation is going. Well, the Ferguson Police Department is not even handling the investigation at all. They turned it over to, I think, the St. Louis Justice Department or something like that. Yeah. You know, so hopefully the truth will come out. But you have to remember, one side of the truth will never come out. One side of the truth will never come out because he's dead. Yeah, we know we have his friend, you know. You know, but friends are going to stick with friends, the majority of them. They are. So we really won't know what really happened. We can only go by, as they say a lot of times, what the evidence tells us. Yes, and we learned from OJ that evidence can be planted and all that great stuff. Okay. But just like to find out in OJ it was planted, I'm sure we can find out in this case if anything was wrong. But we have to stop prejudging what's going on, you know, prejudging, and just let it take its stance. Because you can't try someone in the media. Well, you can, but, I mean, it's really not going to help any. You know? Okay, I know y'all tired of me talking now. Cause I get to rumbling and rambling, and y'all know me. I just keep going and going and going. All right, so let me give shout-outs real fast to people in the chat room. We got Bumhead in the chat room, guest 1441, guest 877, guest 894, and guest 898. Welcome to the show. I'm glad y'all are here. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, on my name Switchboard, I got Mr. Michigan on there right now, and you know what? We're going to bring him in. Oh, but wait a minute. I can't bring him in yet. I can't bring him, because y'all know what? I haven't done the song of the day or the quote of the day, because I got a quote of the day too, y'all. So what I'm going to do, here's the quote of the day, then we're going to bring the song of the day, and then we're going to let Mr. Michigan in, all right? Quote of the day is this: every problem has an expiration date. Simple. Every problem has an expiration date. I like that. Every problem has an expiration date. Now, the question is, what date are you going to give your problem? Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, man, you can't beat that one. All right, so that was your quote of the day. And what we're about to do now is going to play this song of the day. When we come back, we're going to open up the lines for some open conversation, and we're going to talk a little about whatever. All right, so without further ado, here they are, man, the best funk band there was back in the day, Parliament. right, y'all. That was Parliament. Parliament, Parliament with Agony of Defeat. That's right. So you know what y'all do? Gonna take your shoes off. Get ready for a good show today. Because it's time to get it on. Get it on. You know. And like I say, you know, the day is open conversation. So if you want to be a part of the show, bring a topic to the air, no problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join us in our chat room where the conversation is going on. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And then also, the show is sponsored today by audibletrial.com/Let's Talk. Hey, go and get your free book, man, and they give a 30-day free trial. So go and check that out, all right? All right, so now that we have all the particulars out of the way, it's time to have some conversation, man. That's right, because it's hump day. And I say I have two hands up in the air. So first thing, I'm going to bring in Mr. Michigan on that line because he's been here from the beginning. Let's see, Mr. Michigan, welcome, sir. How are you?
Good, 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 bro. What's going on with you?
Oh, not much, man. Just enjoying the joint show. You know, enjoying life.
Yeah, I had a chance to catch a little bit of the news about what's going on down there in St. Louis. And, uh-huh. You know, man, you know, it's kind of scary, man, when you see the police officers, man. And somebody kept saying that, man, they dressed up like the military, man. They don't look like police. I said, man, that's kind of scary. You know what I mean? And then the other thing, man, you know, it's like, like you stated earlier, you mean like, well, let's wait and see how the investigation going to go. But, you know, man, it's like the elephant in the room, man. You know, we know what the deal is. I mean, and I mean, that's trying to stick our head in the sand. You know, it's just happening too often now, man. You know what I mean? You don't see white police officers killing white boys, nor do you see black police officers killing black boys or white boys. So this phenomenon, you know, of black police officers killing black boys, man, it's obvious, man, what it is. You know, it's a disdain for black life. So, you know, now everybody can put whatever type of spin you want to put on it, but they, you know, it's clear. You know, there's no value for black life, which there never really has been, you know, in America, any value for black life. But, I don't know how long we're going to, you know, spin this phenomenon, spin it around and around and around and say, well, he should have, you know, had his hands and said, man, we're going to have to address this issue some kind of way. Now, how we address it, I really don't know because, you know, you can tell, man, they itching for some type of racial, what'd you say, rebellion. You know, armed rebellion. You can tell, man, them white boys, they itching for that. They itching to gun down some niggas. So I don't know if we're going to be able to win at that one.
Yeah, you got to apologize for that word, man. You know we don't do that word over here.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. But, you know, I think they're itching for that, man. So, I mean, what do you think we're going to – what can we do, man? What do you think we can do, man, to try to curb this tide of
white boys killing black boys? Well, you know, if we go with the same old speech and, you know, the same old conversation, they should say we have to educate our kids. Way I would say, you know, you stated that they have no value for black life. And my response to that would be, how can we expect them to value black life when we don't value it ourselves? You know, sometimes you have to show that, you know, we're basically telling them, hey, we don't care about each other. We kill each other on a daily basis. Oh, well. So if you get one, hey, that's good for you. And I'm not saying that every law enforcement officer is like that. I'm not. But, I mean, let's be real, Mr. Michigan is correct until there are those out there, and that's what they're looking for. And, yes, they wear those uniforms that say they're supposed to serve and protect, but they really weren't supposed to serve and protect us anyway. They weren't. Because what you fail to realize, you know, for a long time, we were considered property. We weren't considered human. Yeah, they're just going to put it out there. We weren't. So when you say serve and protect, no. But as we roll into 2015, headed toward 2015, you know, when are we going to show that we care about life, black life ourselves in our own communities? You know, cause we get up and we'll protest, we'll march, whatever. But when we have killing in our own communities, who's saying anything then? You know what's being said? Man, Red got it the other night. Yeah, man, he was riding with JoJo. I told him don't be hanging with JoJo. And that's it. That's the basis of the conversation, and everybody goes on.
Well, let me say something, man, because, you know, you hear that often, you know, about, well, we don't value black life. And I don't think that's the case. You know, you have white on white crime. I mean, you have Asian on Asian, Latino on Latino. So that's no different from black on black crime. You would have to say the same thing then. So if you, when white boys kill each other, you're saying white boys don't value white life. See, that don't work. When you use the social science formula to that statement, it doesn't work.
But doesn't
you,
it?
You have to say the same thing about white people.
Yeah, but see, you have this is the thing, Mr. Michigan. You have to realize that, yes, I understand that they have their little incidents as well, but are they killing off each other at the rate that we are?
Actually, see, yes, now, if you go and look at white on white crime, go look at in any other race, the Latinos in L.A., you have that interracial conflict, but to try to use, you know, where white boys see blacks killing each other, therefore that's why they don't value black life, that's a cop-out. See?
Oh, okay.
Those are two separate issues. You know, we do need to address that, but it's two separate issues.
All right. So now, if that's the case, then couldn't we say that the perception that the police are just aiming to kill our young black men is a perception, is a cop out as well, and that, you know, we need to teach our kids not to be put themselves in certain situations? Can we say that's a cop out, because that's something we hear all the time as well?
Well, yeah, I think that's a cop out. Now, the second one is a cop-out. I think the first one you said about whites not valuing black life, I don't think that's a cop-out. I think that's the absolute truth. And I think that's the only logical conclusion you can draw when you look at all the data.
Okay. Well, stand by, Mr. Michigan. I got two other people in queue I'm finna bring on, and so we can continue this conversation. All right, let's see. All right, area code 661, welcome to the show. And Mr. International, well, 414, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, you got to stop muting my line, man, because, you know, me and you go back from when you very first started, bro, and I'm getting kicked off your line as well, brother. Eric, what's all that about, man?
Supreme.
Good day to everyone. Also, Mr. Talkie had a chance to say that. I'm going to say the same. Good day to everyone.
Good day, everyone. I'm just saying to you, bro, it's like I'm getting kicked off all the time and I'm getting put on mute and no one ain't opening up my line. I'm thinking, bro, is this how Eric's dealing with me? If it's something I must...
All right. See, once again, see, that's why you get muted. Anyway, so, Mr. International, what do you have to add to this conversation we're having?
Okay, I want to address something on what the brother was just talking about, the one that you just muted. And I think he needs to realize that what happened in the past when it comes to us is in the past, and that if it's not something that physically caused him any harm, mentally caused him any harm, it wasn't done maliciously, he needs to go ahead and look in the mirror and find out why is it happening. And so that way right there, he won't place the blame on you, and he can move on and he can address the issues. That's the reason why men and women call into the show, is to address the issues that you're raising, but not to talk about why you're doing what you're doing on your show in the way that you do it. If they don't like it, then there's thousands of shows they can get on. But getting back to the point, the thing is that it's systematically put together for black African men and African women to implode and cause or create genocide on one another. And so that's where the difference lies. And it's not necessarily that, you know, you can look at the statistics and say that, well, you know, African men and African women are the ones that are killing one another. We know that right there. But the thing, and there is no comparison in any logical form when it comes to how Mexicans may kill Mexicans, of course, because they're in their own group, and so it's a smaller group of men and women. But the thing is that when you look at what has happened systematically throughout the generations, we have always been the targeted race. And so because we are the targeted race, not fratricide, genocide, guess 1441, it's genocide. Genocide is when a program is created through what's called composition of adverbs. So I can get into the metaphysics of it, I can get into the science of it, and I can get into the nuclear fissions of it. So what it is it's based upon being a targeted. First of all, the whole system is created imitating African men and women. And so when you know that they have held information from us, and that information that they've held from us has been used to be a weapon to basically keep us at bay, control men and women, and take what it is that belongs to them, then we're the targeted race. And so you're going to have this genocide that takes place, where when you look at the statistics, and if you really truly add up the numbers, which they do not do, you'll see that it is way beyond genocide, and that's what's really going on. And that's the reason why what happened over in St. Louis, Missouri, happens, for the simple fact that if you have someone that has this conversation and they constantly speak that we're no good, that we're this way, and this is their conversation. I have family members that are working law enforcement, and I know their conversation. And so the thing is that when they have this psychosis to target their, and belittle their own color, then this is the mentality that they take on. And also the Caucasians, they have that, or the Europeans, excuse me, they have that already. And so when you have an African man or a woman that has that, now you have a European state of mind in an African body, and that just does not mix, just like water and oil. So that's what's really truly going on here. It's just a systematic program that was put together thousands upon thousands of years ago, and everything, this is nothing new.
Okay. You know what, when you put it like that, that makes a lot more sense to me anyway. Go ahead, Supreme, you wanted to say something?
Well, you know, I agree with the brother, what he said about me, about the personal business, and I agree with the statements that the last brother just stated. I think there should be a lesson that should be learned. You know, it's already something that I already knew anyway, but for the last maybe 6 years, I would say, strong. And we got to know that we're living amongst our enemies. We will never get any sort of human rights, equality, or justice where we're living. As long as the white and wherever the white and the black dynamic exists, we're always going to be at the bottom. Now, I think the best, this should at least show us that we need to separate from this, from, you know, Europeans. We got to separate from them, brothers. It's just too much down in the United States, in the hells of America. You know, we just got to separate. It's the only thing. Even that in itself will be an act of war against this devil. But at least we can try and do something, you know. Even if we're going to stay where we are in the enemy's society, right? If we're going to stay where we are, then we're going to have to try and separate, have a little, our own separate, you know, where we shop, you know, like what the Chinese do, like the Asians do. They've got their own communities and they do business amongst themselves. That's what we're going to need to do. You know, we're going to have to separate within the system or leave, one of the two. And we have to start policing our own streets. Because the crime that's going on where you're at in Chicago and the Brothers of the Nation of Islam are trying to do that out here in the UK, they're trying to start policing their streets as well, but they're looking for donations from the people, and that's just another problem because our people don't want to put our money where our mouth is. So I'm saying that the crime that's going on where you're at in Chicago, right, it's only the black man who's going to have to shut that down. And now I'm saying that, you know, I've already come with my three-point manifesto, which a lot of brothers and sisters don't like, but it's going to come to this, brothers. And I'm going to say my three-point manifesto. We talk to these youth. And secondly, if they don't want to listen, if we should put hands on them as grown men. These are youths. If my son is out of line, I'm going to put hands on him. Bottom line, 15, 20, I'm going to put hands on him. If you want to fight, we're going to roll in the mud. You see what I'm saying? And if they don't want to listen, then let the devil take them. Bottom line. That's why they fill up their prisons. Let the devil take them. Let the devil take them. If they don't want to listen, they will still sell drugs in the community and stuff like that and live a selfish lifestyle. Let the devil take them. Bottom line. Because they're just wicked right now. You can't even look at where I am. I can't even look at a young boy that I don't know. I can't look at a boy under the age of 18 or under the age of 21. I can't look at him, make him think that when I'm looking at him, I have to be careful how I'm looking at young black brothers who look like me, look like my family members. I have to be careful how I'm looking at them. I can't even look at them too long without them trying to threaten to put a bullet in my head. You see what I'm saying? That's how bad it is. And I'm saying we as men have to put a united front and deal with this situation. Because these youth, they don't respect no man. You see what I'm saying? They don't respect men. They don't respect life.
All right.
And that's what I was talking about when I say genocide. And someone in the chat room said fratricide. But fratricide is the killing of one's brother or sisters. And genocide is when you're talking about the nationality of a people based upon a construction that has been put together for a very direct purpose. And so when you're talking about genocide, you're not just talking about the killing of one's brother and sister. You're talking about the whole synapses of the program in which, if you're inside of it, that you're going to have these results, because this is a system. It's called, the whole program is based up under what's called utilitarianism and also eugenics. And so in order to know exactly what it is that this program is, or this system is basically what it is, it's a conditioning, but it's also a system of what's called compositions. And they do it in steps. And so it starts from when you're in your mother's womb. There, this is premeditation. And so in order to really truly get a grasp on what's happening here, it's not a matter of it's a matter really of teaching the young men and women in the schools correctly. Now, I'm over here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and so my goal is within the next year or so is to open up schools here in Wisconsin and teach what it is that I'm speaking right now. And so I put this program together over the past 30-some-odd years. And so this is the reason why. So it's a matter, and I teach this to my nieces, nephews, my sons, my daughters, and everything of that nature right here. So a lot of the things that we see in the streets, they're not affecting the family like that right there, because we know how to isolate ourselves from those issues, but still know that we're still a part of it, and we have to give an answer because we're all connected under one nation. And I'm not talking about the United States of America. When I'm saying that we're connected under a nation, we're connected under a nation of African Americans or African Moorish Americans or African Asiatic Americans. And so when you know the whole totality of who you are as a nation, then you will take a race pride in yourself and you won't do those things. But this is not what's taught in the schools. So that's the reason why you have such a high dropout rate, because these young men and women, they're not being fooled by this garbage that they're teaching them in school. You have everyone in Washington, D.C. running around like their heads cut off and don't know what's going on, and these are the ones that are supposed to be the role models to the ones that are coming up. And so they look at this tell me a vision, and they believe this stuff that these Europeans and things of that nature right there, and also some of these African men and women that have taken on the persona of the European. They know that this is fake, false, and so the police officers, I'll use that word very loosely, because they're nothing but high-paid security guards if you look at the whole structure of the incorporation that happened. But the thing is that they look at these young men and women, and they know that they're nothing more than security guards. And they know that when they, at the end of the day, they want to go home, and they want to see their family. And so every African man and a woman is a threat, whether you have a gun or not. You are a threat to them simply because of the color of your skin. And if the men and women are not going to wake up and realize that that's the only reason why they need an excuse, if you think it is because of poverty, you don't have a job, the way you dress, the way you talk, that's ridiculous, because everyone is in that melting pot where you can find white, Asian, or whomever that dress, talk, and perform a certain way. But this is predicated on the color of your skin. Now, what in history has happened to us as men and women because of one thing and one thing only, the color of our skin? And that's white supremacy, male domination of our nation of Africans.
Wow. Oh, man, I'm telling you, that's some strong stuff. I mean, y'all are really throwing it down today, and I'm loving that all the way. But I got Mr. K on the line also, so let me bring him in so he can add to the conversation. All right, Mr. K, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
Hey, this is Hotep Kenyatta. Sorry, I'm not the gentleman you mentioned. I called with some quick comments.
Well, I know you're Kenyatta, but I have trouble saying, so I just say Mr. K.
Oh, no problem. I thought that was actually, you know, okay, that's cool. I'll be a kid.
Okay.
When we look at the problem that we face as dark humans, dark in complexion, it takes looking at the history, and that history involves present and past and even the future. So if we look at it just today, it seems to be strictly a color issue. But if we look at it from 2,000 years ago, or when Alexander the Great went into Egypt, then it seems to be a nationality issue. But if we look before that, the skin color issue was not so critical. So what we have here is a problem of failure to communicate. What we're looking at is racism and sexism as tools for the elite financial rich of the world, who happen to be primarily light-skinned Africans, because we all come from Africa. Now, many of them have up to 5% Neanderthal DNA, but it doesn't change the species that they are. It's possible that that DNA has affected their thinking. I'm not sure. It's just a theory I have. But what we have to do is get back to the African roots. Now, the African roots even had discrimination. We had an empire called Egypt. Egypt's tall buildings weren't built for everybody. You had some brothers and sisters that were hustling to build for the pharaohs. So even when we look at our greatness, we see some flaws, and people don't want to admit that. We want to worship Egypt, and it's a great, probably the greatest civilization, but it had flaws. So what the average white person is doing to us, some of us also participated in to some degree, whether it's Obama today or some of the pharaohs of yesteryear. So we need to, once we get a grasp of the racism issue, because they're beating us down, we can't ignore that. Then we have to say, well, what are we going for as humanity? Are we trying to say skin color wars? Well, y'all over there and we over here. And that then leads to a loss, because we tried that in Philly with MOVE. We tried that many times, and they just bomb us or kill us or starve us out. I think the solution may be self-defense like the Panthers were doing, but also a W.E.B. Du Bois position of intellectual empowerment. Study hard, martial arts, about Africa, about herbology, about police codes, about Greece, because the original Europeans were not white. We conquered all over the world. What they call Europe wasn't really Europe, and it isn't even a continent. The problem is very complex, but still simple, getting to truth and passing the color issue. But how do you pass it if they're hitting us upside the head? You deal with it first, and then you migrate.
Well, I think it's a very simple answer, and it is about race, but it's not a race based upon race the way that most men and women think it's based upon. It's based upon exactly what I said in the Genesis, based upon white supremacy, male domination for the survival of a minority species. And so when men and women look at it for what it is, that's the totality of it, is that the system that was created to keep you out of it. And the reason why they want to keep you out of it is because it's self-preservation of race. And so when you really truly know history, and what you're talking about in Egypt, it didn't happen. And under Alexander the Barbarian, he wasn't the great, he was a barbarian. And his father Constantine, because he couldn't fulfill conquering Egypt, that's when Alexander the Barbarian came over to fulfill his father's wishes after he had passed away. And so that was the mentality going in. But as far as Africa in general, there was no such thing as a jail. There was no such thing as narcissistic behavior. There was no such thing as all of these retardations. This happened only after the conquering of Africa, the continent. And so when you look at Caucasians or Europeans in general, you have to remember what they based everything on, and it's called general theology. And when you research general theology, the etymology of that is self-preservation of the European race. And when men and women get out of that mind state and they take it as a personal attack on their skin color because of my lips, because of my nose, and all these other characteristics, then you're playing into what's called the physical or the physics design of their programming or their schemes. And so you have to stay away from that and realize that this is about self-preservation. It always has been. And it has been because they are not connected to nature as we are. So because they're not connected to nature as we are, they pulled us into their system to take us away from nature, and as they pulled us into their system, taking us away from nature, then we've tried to be just like them, and we could never be just like them. You cannot place a European mind in an African body. It just does not work. And so that's the reason why their system was created, was for self-preservation and nothing else.
Brother, all of Africa and Egypt were not perfect. I mean, anyone that looks at our history knows that. If we ignore the skin color issue you mentioned, skin and nose, then we're ignoring that we're getting effed up around the world. The skin color, nose size issue are purely tools, but they're deadly tools because they're killing us over it. We're not perfect, but they definitely have it slightly better in so many ways, and in many ways they'll get to tell off a police officer, we'll get a shot in the head. We've got to get beyond just thinking that Africa was perfect. The Caribbean, for example, the Caribs were massacring other black people, and people have this myth that we were the greatest. No, we're the original people, but we have to continue to evolve intelligently, evaluate our leaders. Look at Obama. I mean, we want to say that black people are all that. He's helping to kill us off.
But brother, something needs to be done.
We're going to say the white man caused that? No, it's a greedy black man.
Put it this way,
brother,
yes,
we need to.
Can you hear me?
Your phones are breaking.
I'm listening to the conversation. A couple things. One, when you're talking about group power, ultimately, we all know that force is the number one power, meaning ultimately, it's if I can kick your ass, then I'm in control. Now, we all need to run away from that. So this thing has always been racial, and until the African is in a position where he can kick some ass, we can theorize it as much as we want. And so let's assume that that is correct. You know, then the question is, how does the African position himself on a global scale to potentially kick ass?
That's a great question. Great question.
I'm glad he asked that question. I'm so glad he asked that question.
Yeah.
And for the other brother that was saying about Morocco,
One more quick thing. The African American or his framework on the African-American community. I'm postulating that he's done. Meaning, there's a terminal cancer, and he's done. There will be no African-American community anymore. And I think the science will almost prove that. Now, you can have hope and faith that there'll be, but that doesn't mean it will be. The what positions the African on a global scale is how well he can take care of the land that he's standing on, meaning Africa, and is he in a position when someone wants to come and fight and take it, is he in a position to kick some ass to the degree that the person who's coming to take it will give a second thought about taking it. Now, anything short of that, the DNA talk, the state of Egypt, the state of black-on-black relationships historically, none of that solves the issue of you're living on a planet with other groups with mind states that are different from yours. And that is their sovereignty, to have a mind state that's different from yours. You're living in a world where people, some people are bloodthirsty, and that's their sovereignty. The question is, are you going to be in a position to answer the damn threat? If you're not, then just do what Marcus Garvey said. Then you should die. I'll stop right there.
Hey, but you know, I was just saying that, you know, we need, you know, that lastly you say you brought on Marcus Garvey, and he had the best plan. We need to separate, man. Like,
yeah,
he
yeah.
even said, if we keep a wheel going down the road, the road of destruction. He said it in a book.
Well, ain't no question we need to separate. That's clear. Ain't no question we need to separate. That's clear. And we are, if someone is arguing against separation, shit, they're not keeping up with the time. So that's clear.
And then I'm
but
saying
just,
that just even
answer your own
more
question,
so,
brother man. You just answered your own question. You just hit the nail on the head. Separate. And that's what it is. Integration did nothing for us but put us back a number of years. That's all integration did. We were doing just fine when we were doing things on our own. But when we looked over that fence and thought that the grass was greener.
Plantation, brother. Go on.
When
it
we
took
when
us
we saw that,
back to the plantation.
We felt that, and then it's a contradicting in statements, because Marcus Garvey, if you follow Marcus Garvey's life, and when he basically, put it this way, if you really truly want to know how to separate, follow Marcus Garvey and do exactly what he told you you should do as an African. And I guarantee you, you'll never have the problems with anyone at all. And then you can get out here and you can teach how to separate to other men and women. You can never, ever get anything. You hit it on the head when you said that they are a bloodthirsty nation. And so when you're talking about a bloodthirsty nation, you're talking about a nationality. And if you know history, you'll know that you're not part of this nationality called the United States of America. Not as an African calling yourself black, Negro, or African American. Those are slavery terms. The etymology has a root in the word Toby, which all slaves were called Tobies as they came over. And then through the Niger, they turned that into the word Negro. And so when you know that these are slave connotations and you still utilize those names right there and you fill out documentation with those check marks and things of this nature right here, you're doing what's called checks and balances. And they're checking you and they're balancing you. It's not about the physicality of what they can do, because, you know, I'm 6'5", okay, avid karate instructor. And so my thing is that I know what I can do physically. I know how to shoot my guns. But the thing is that if you got some little old wrinkled waste of skin sitting behind an office that has been taught in some of their so-called best universities to kick my butt in paperwork, then it don't make a difference how much physicality I have if they can go ahead and legislate what they want to with an ink pen. And that's the
because
key thing. It comes with education physically, and it comes with education mentally. You have to balance the two. If you don't balance the two, then you're like a city with no walls. Anything comes in and conquers you. And that's what you have to do. You have to know their system. You have to study your enemy.
But we have to be real, though. But we have to be real. Even if we do separate, that would be seen as an act of war to the devil. Because he's going to – you see, this
no,
is the thing
no,
again.
No, no.
He's
going to
try and stop – hold on, brother. Remember – most of us are going to go, this is the thing, we have to be careful where we go. Now, I don't think that the best place to go would be Africa, because he's going to be thinking, the devil's going to be thinking, you've got your eyes on those gold mines. So he'll probably, and most of those governors The prime ministers and the dictators, they're working for the best interests of Europe. They're working for European interests. Most of them are corrupt as hell. So like what they did with Marcus Garvey, they vetoed him because the Libyan, the Liberian governor, or president, whatever, he was bought and paid for by the devil. You know, they were paying him off to stop Marcus Garvey from going there. I would say it would be better for the black man in America. My advice is to go somewhere like South America or the Caribbean, because these countries ain't got the gold and the oil wealth. Like, he's going to be thinking that we're going to go over there, and it's inevitable that after a while, give it about 10 years, we're going to be fighting for that gold, those gold mines and everything.
That
would be his problem.
As a person that lived in the Caribbean, brother, for decades. I've lived in Europe. I've lived in Canada, America. There is no escaping what's going on. In the Bahamas right now, there's so many murders per capita. It's pathetic. Jamaica is the same way. We were the original native Indians that came through the Bering Strait. So what happens is, just like we came from down south when the crackers were getting us and came up north, now we're going back down south. Now we're looking for somewhere else. Now, I'm not saying it won't work for some people if that is their choice. But my thinking is, all the land is our land. Why do we have to be the ones to always give up what our people died for, both Native Indians and
Let me say something. See, to me, this is that delusion. Now, if you want to just deal with facts, first of all, no human owns any of the earth. I'm going to say it again. No human owns any of the earth. So this poetic statement about, we were here first, it's ours. If a man can kick your ass and say it's not yours and you submit to that, that's quit playing, man.
Sure.
So running around saying all of the earth is ours. Okay, prove it. Who's asking you to kick and prove it? So let's quit playing that game.
Hold on. All right.
That's
all right.
A preposterous position. I don't believe we're talking this discussion and putting these arguments. So what? We don't own it, so now we're going to go somewhere and what? Own that?
The
so
Caribbean. The Caribbean.
Come on now.
No, hold on, brother. The Caribbean may not be ideal.
Everybody hold on, all right? hey, I mean, this is a deep discussion. However, I got to pay some bills, so I'm going to go ahead and get this money made. And once we come back, we're going to bring Sister Atwa on the line also and continue this dialogue. All right? So bear with me as we go ahead and pay the bills.
Let's Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
Y'all, hey, that was audible.com, and I'm telling you, man, with conversations like this, this is why I think things like audible.com are perfect, you know, because they carry, man, over 150,000 titles. So if you know, you want to look up something about the history or, you know, whatever it is, this is the place to go. Now, if you go, just go to audibletrial.com/letstalk, and you get a free book. You sign up for the 30-day trial. If you don't like it, at least you get a free book out of it, right? But if you do like it, you know, it's a $14 monthly fee, I think, something like that. Yeah, it's 14, $14 monthly fee, and you get a free book each month. So, hey, check it out. It's the way to get some books. And then the thing about it is you don't have to worry about putting it on the shelf because you put it on your computer or whatever type of device you're listening on. So that means you have it on the go. So don't forget audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, so we're having a great conversation here, and I have Mr. Michigan Supreme, Mr. International, Kenyatta, and I have Sister Ottawa on the line, and we're going to open up the lines and let them continue this great, great dialogue. All right, well, we're going to start with Sister Ottawa. Welcome, Sister. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good, and you? And good afternoon to the brothers. I wanted to contribute to the conversation, and what I wanted to say was that, you know, our feet will be planted on Mother Earth, and that the greatest liberation will be the one that takes place in our minds, and we can look at other ethnic groups and see that they have a consciousness that they have had made an agreement to do certain things in their community where they will thrive. So that is the same thing that we need to do. We can be separate with our feet on the ground wherever we are, but we will have an agreement on the things that we will do, where our money will go, what we'll eat, where we will buy our food from, where we're not spending our money. See, we are a consumer group, and all of these foreign groups feed on our community. They provide us with the items that we consume. So now we can take control of that by saying, well, the black farmers are only growing greens and sweet potatoes. That's all we're eating is greens and sweet potatoes. And there's so much that we can do with that. But we're not going to no longer contribute to the lottery system in all these states. There are a number of things that we can do to take back our power, because one of the greatest evils that the world is experiencing is money. We are slaves to money. And we need to look at how that has been the foundation of our belief system, which is falsehood. Money is illusion. And so there's many things that we have to deal with, mainly truth. We have to make truth first. And I believe that we can find many, many, many solutions, but the liberation that we need to have first is the one of the mind.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I'm going to share something with everyone. This is and through meditation. I was trying to really figure out, like I stated, Mr. Talk, you know, I try to research everything. And since, and so the thing is in meditation, I was like, even though I know what I know, the thing is how can I help get my people out of the situation they're in? And with me, it's a passion, and it comes through Christianity by me being in my father being a minister and my mother's minister wife, and I've been in the church all my life. Not saying that I am a Christian as it is in the Christian churches today, but I am a Christian as it is in the original form. And so when I was meditating, I got the answer. I got the answer to when it began over here for men and women in America as far as African men and women, because that brother hit it on the head when he said that we were not always like this with the Europeans. We got along just fine with them at one time in history and throughout history. And so when did it change? It changed under what's called action theory. Action theory is by Talcott Parsons. And this was implemented in he was born in 1902 to 1979. But this is a process in which he implemented this whole program that you're in, that every man and woman is in right now. Remember back in the day we would put our information on a child being born in the Bible. Birth certificate records were kept in Bibles. We had these huge Bibles in our homes, old antique Bibles that were passed down from generation to generation to give the history of everyone that was born in our family. And so what they did was in the early 1900s, they basically started giving us what's called birth certificates. And so under the teachings under Talcott, TALCOTTPARSONS, Talcott Parsons, this whole program is called Action Theory. And so through research and all kind of things, this pops up. And so as I read through it and I went to and I broke down the words, when you read this right here, you'll see exactly what they've done. That's the reason why I've always stated, Mr. Talking, you said it on other shows, your birth certificate is what you call a bond. It's a title in a deed which is traded on international commerce. You have what's called 20X accounts at the United States Treasury Department that are in your name. But the thing is based on this action theory that he created, your name gets lost in translation. It gets lost in adverbs, compositions, and compound interest. And so this is the whole program that they've created. It's called action theory. If you research actions theory and you implement that backwards, you can get out of their system, and you can also leave with the millions upon millions of dollars that they have made off of you.
Which is probably related, brother, to the scramble for Africa, et cetera, at different points in history. Do we realize that it wasn't the average white person that was actually planning most of the things in history? There were white leaders. There were white kings and queens. The average white person, I always tell them, you're a serfer and I'm a slave. I don't mean it literally. I don't think I'm a slave. I'm just saying, my people are burning in the fire. Y'all are above us in the smoke, getting a bit of smoke in your eyes. So when your dog gets hurt or something, you all trip out. We get shot in the head and everybody says, kumbaya, let's sing, brother. Don't worry about it, black man. So just like us being misled by black leaders usually, it's the same, I'm telling you, for the average white person. Not that the average one doesn't benefit from our blood. They're benefiting. Even if they're a peace kumbaya person, they benefit from white privilege. But if we look at it from a human, homo sapien, deep standpoint and get spiritual on it, we start to see that, wait, we can't let people that are bad turn us to hate and to be bad. And Martin Luther King, that was one thing he was right on. I didn't agree with that slap me, because you slap me once, it's over, right? But on don't become what your enemy is, I agree with that. Because if I became what my enemy is, there are about 100 people right now that would be dead, including some high-ranking people that I've dealt with, right? But I had to dig and say, wait a minute, am I going to do that just because they did it to me? I'm not talking about getting slapped. I'm talking about other stuff that they do to us. We've got to be human. We got to keep that. That core, I'm not saying you all are saying run, but if we leave, we've been doing that every time people push us around. Why can't we say some can go, some can stay, and we form strategic alliances? You could say, yo, Hotep, you're in New York. What's up? We need some whatever. We want to sell some cocoa. We need to get something from Wall Street. Can you go in with your people and negotiate it? I think we should have a diverse approach to it so that we can use our resources.
I think that a lot of men and women miss what that sister said. That sister just said it starts with basically what she's saying is that you have to know your spirit. Most men and women don't know their spirit. You have to know your spirit. You have a spirit and you have a soul. And when you know that your spirit is lined up with the Creator, and when you know that your soul is what manifests the physical, and when you manifest the physical, and it is true that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So when men and women start saying that, no, we can never get together, and they're always going to do, you don't know your history when you think that this Johnny come lately that has been here for a short period of time has done greater deeds and things than you. Everything that you see in Europe was built by African hands. Everything, every single, the Great Wall of China was built by African, Asiatic men and women. So we were everywhere. We were over here in North America. Put it this way. Your brother said something earlier, when you were talking earlier, he said something about the Caribbeans, okay, in those islands. 250-some-odd years before slavery started over here, slavery was taking place. 250-some-odd years before, Christopher Columbus was riding up and down that the coast delivering slaves to the Caribbean islands and also to Europe for the Pope. This is documented. All you have to do is read the transcripts of his son. He explains all of Christopher Columbus's travels. He explains that the Moors that were over here, as they called themselves, or if you want to go back a little further, the Olmecs. So we were here. We were here. When they had what's called the Reconstruction Period and locked us out of Washington, D.C., and burnt down everything that we had and then implemented slavery and things of this nature right here, that's when this period happened. And that's when this form right here, which is called action theory, was implemented. Every African man and woman is under what's called action theory. If you don't research action theory, you're not going to know what they're doing to you today. Now, we know what they've done to our ancestor. They had to switch the program. Just like the Constitution is the law of the land, and then you have the United States Codes of Federal Procedures, and then you have the regulations and statutes, they could never, ever word these things the same way. The whole program is designed to have the same meaning for white supremacy, male domination, to protect a European race. And keep in mind, this is about self-preservation. They do not want you to be, you're not a part of the nationality. As an African, you're not a part of their nationality. You will never be a part of the nationality of the European, because they have their own nationality. And that's what when they go on vacation, hey, I'm going to Europe, I'm going to Italy, I'm going here, I'm going there. We don't have I'm going to Mississippi, I'm going to Tennessee. You see what I'm saying? So it's that mind state that men and women have to get out of, the spirit of a man and woman. When you know for a fact that you created everything that you see, all languages come from us. Linguistics is the art of and the science of language. If you study the etymology of that, you'll see that we were the first ones that created that. The Mohammedan and Afro-Asiatic tribes, we created these languages. So when you know exactly who you are, then your spirit is going to change. This is not just conversation. These are things that you need to do. The sister hit the nail on the head. You have to change your mind. It begins with the renewing of your mind or the renewing of your spirit. If that's not what you're working on, the rest is just conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me add something, Mr. Talk, Ms. Michigan. A couple things. The last brother that said something about not all Africans not moving to Africa. I mean, he's absolutely correct. I guess the approach of Pan-Africanism, when you say that to most Africans who don't know what the definition is, the first thing they think that means is that every African should pack his gym bag and move to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that is farthest from the truth. Now, the brother had mentioned that if we just follow Marcus Garvey, well, here's what he said. I mean, he said it plain and clear. He said, until the continent of Africa is controlled by the African, you will not see a strong African anywhere else on the planet. Now, this is pure mathematics. We're talking about geopolitics. All of that is correct. You invented the traffic light. Well, hell, if you don't have no land to put no traffic lights up, who cares? You see? So we're still talking about a fundamental thing. Where is the Africans? Jay-Z said in one of his raps, if you're going to be in power, you need a mound to pitch from. Where is the Africans' mound? That is correct. All Africans will never be able to go back to the continent. But the strength of the continent will make the Africans in America and in the Caribbean and in Europe and in Asia. This is the vector of power for us.
Yeah.
See? So this concept of cast your bucket where you are and we're going to be powerful from there, or, like I said, we can separate within the nation, okay? Then that, done that. actually have to move. We've already tried that. So why would you try something you've already tried? And you were successful at it, and then they let you know that you were successful by tearing the shit down. So why would you try that again without the backing of the continent? And my last point, this thing about consciousness. When you're talking about an individual is not born with political consciousness or a race-based consciousness or a health-based consciousness or a economic consciousness. All of these things are added to the human through a culture. So the statement of we need a consciousness, well, hell, if you don't have a culture with institutions where you can systematically send your children through that system, you won't have a group consciousness. So simply saying we need consciousness, hell, we've known that for the last 50 years. But do you have a system in America that you can run the African children through from birth until they get, say, 16 or 15, where the majority of them will grow into adults with an African-based political, economic, and social consciousness? Where is that infrastructure?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's called the Moorish American Science Temple of America, and that's right there was created and brought over here by who's called the Prophet Noble Gerard Lee. And so this system that he brought over here was the original Islam before the Arabs got a hold of it and plagiarized it like they did, and like the Europeans and others did Christianity. And so you always have to look at the purest form. Now, I'm going to give you this answer real quick. But what it is that when you get a nationality, you have to claim a nationality on this soil. If you don't claim your nationality, that's the reason why they ask you, are you black, are you African American, or are you Negroid? Because they know that these are word games they're playing with you to make sure that you don't know, or to check and see if you know. And then if you do check anything else, they're going to say, well, if that's what you are, if you're a Moor, then what is your nationality? Are you affiliated with the Moor Science Temple of America? And that's the only recognized, even the Nation of Islam is not recognized as the Moor Science Temple of America, because the Nation of Islam is a derivative of the original. And so you have to know that it is here, but you have to research it. You have to want it's for chosen you.
Let me ask you one quick question.
Wow.
If the brother in St. Louis that just got killed had publicly said, had the fair on his head and recognized himself as a Moor, do you think that police would have shot him?
That's right.
Let me ask you another question. If you go into the bank with a fez on your head and announce to the loan officer that you have more, do you think that's going to get you the loan?
So I don't think so.
That's you have to put this shit in context.
Keep in mind, bro, that's facetious thinking. My thing is that, like I stated to you, in order to know, too much is given to whomever it is that is given, too much is expected. And so the thing is that a lot of men and women have not been given much because not much is expected from them. And the thing about the God that I serve, God does not waste anything. And so why would God put it in my mind state to walk into a bank with a fez on and say, give me some money because of this? My thing is to know what the bank is about. Knowing that when I research the banks and I know and I follow the money, that there are five bank groups called the Bank Groups of America and also the two Swiss bank accounts and also the USA Bank of America that handles the money, all I have to do is get on my computer and go into their, it's called the Freedom of Information Act. I go ahead and submit my documentation to them, and I get in there and I study and I research their forms, because everything that happens to me in commerce, they're going to have the forms in order to transportate to do what's called general transportation to me on their forms. So I research their forms. I research everything about them. And that way I know my enemy. If you want to know your enemy, if they move next door to you, and every time you leave from your house is getting broken into, and no one else's house is getting broken into, and your neighbors across the street are saying, hey, it's your next door neighbors that's doing it to you, then you're going to sit back and you're going to watch and see who's doing this, or you're going to approach them and you're going to say, hey, why is all my stuff in your house? And you're going to take your stuff back. Get my stuff back. I'm teaching men and women how to do that right there. It was stolen, bro. And it's not about no game of, oh, we did this 50 years. No, this is how you do it. You claim a nationality. First of all, you research what your nationality is so you can sit back and say, well, maybe I like being over here treated the way I'm treated. Maybe that's too much for me. It's not for everyone. It isn't. Claiming your nationality and knowing what your culture is, it's called a culture shock. Okay, and that's the only time you're going to have a culture shock or a culture clash is when you come in contact with your original culture. That has not happened to African men and women. I've researched Martin Luther King and all of these so-called great leaders, and I see where they've tried and how they've come short. That's the reason why I've kept quiet and I've researched for over 30-some-odd years, and I'm bringing this information to the forefront. Now, this is a life long educational trip for me. I have had brothers, sisters, mothers, nieces, uncles, aunties, grandmothers, etc. support me so that I could do this research because they know what my drive is. And so when you know that you are chosen to do this right here, then you do it. But it's only for a chosen few. It's not for everyone.
Can I say something? Make it quick,
Supreme. I got other people waiting.
Now, for me, for my, and you can't even deny the knowledge that I know about the bank, and I think I know what the banks are. They are criminal organizations that was involved in the slavery, enslavement of our people. Every bank, and I know a majority, most banks, 90% of banks were involved in our slavery and their criminal organizations. They ain't going to help us knowing that. You see what I'm trying to say? If we ain't got no black banks that are bought and financed for the betterment of the black man. So we got to separate, bottom line.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right. Wow. But, man, I'm telling you, I have to agree with Mr. International on that. You know, you have to research, you got to do your research. You have to go in there and figure out what's what and make it happen. You know, you just can't go in there willy-nilly. Okay? So, let me bring, let's see, Ebony Empress in to the conversation. And
Hi,
Ebony, and 438. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr.
Hi.
Hey,
hello.
Hey.
Hey. What's going on, Stanley?
Not bad. I agree with part of what he said. I don't agree with him when he started with the Bible and the soul. I think there's many things we can learn. We don't need the book of the Bible to learn all those things. Yes, we need to learn about banks. Yes, we need to learn about different things. We need to be more informed. But I do not agree when he says soul and things. No. Too many people have been using that book, the Bible or the Quran, for their own advantage. I think we should basically take it out of the – I think it brought us black people to be even inferior by using that book. If black people would stop using that book and saying we need to go back, no, we need to go back as a strong black people of organizing ourselves and finding the truth of ourselves and learning our history and following a book that was basically done by a lot of white people to basically make us do some stuff and believe their ways and see.
I agree that,
black. Yeah.
I agree that book was made to control, the devil gave us.
Yeah, it was made to control us. It was made to control us. And I'm sorry, I do not agree when the brother is saying that we should follow the book. You follow your book of the Bible when it talks about slavery when it's normal, when white people was being slaves and they were quoting the things of the Bible. You can never talk
the
that.
Devil,
how could you be a Christian and still be a Christian with that on your table? How could you still be a Christian with all this stuff that if you read the Bible, there are so many things. There is a disgrace as a black man.
And the only reason why the devil gave us that book was so they could sleep at night.
Yes.
Let me answer his question. I know you have some guests on there, but as I stated to him earlier, I don't think he heard me. But the Bible that you have today is not the original Bible. And so when you know what the form is, keep it this way right here. The Bible, Christianity, Islam, all these things are what you call elemental principles. These are things that were inherent and are inherent in every African. When we were divided, everything was divided, even our culture. And these were our cultures. Religions were our culture. They were not in the books as they put them to go ahead and use them for political gain. and they use these as political tools against us. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say the Bible. When you read the Bible, know how to read the Bible, but that comes, as the young lady said earlier, by renewing your mind. If you read it with a Caucasian way of thought process or European, you're going to have the same results that everyone else has.
If the Bible tells you that it's normal to kill a kid because he doesn't believe in God, I don't know. Saying it's normal, the book is saying what it's saying. You're going to tell me that the book is saying something different, and I'm going to tell you, look at the book and read it for what it is. If it's supposed to be the most amazing book in the world, the morality of the world, it should have number one law: do not enslave other people. I'm not God, and I know that. I know that more than any person and everything, and I'm not even God. I know that
study
part. Do not do good, do not do evil to other people.
Yes. Brother,
study
the
Councils of Nicaea of 325. Study the Council of Nicaea. Study the Councils of Nicaea of 325, and you'll see where the Bible took a turn. It's called the Councils of Nicaea. Google it on the Internet or whatever. It's called 325, the Councils of Nicaea, and study what the popes did to the original form of Christianity that they took out of the African man and woman and how they placed it in the book and plagiarized it. And that's where it happened at 325 AD.
But the Bible isn't even the original holy text. The Bible comes from the ancient Hebrew text, and the ancient Hebrew text come from what you call the tablets of stone. And right there, I have a problem. Why would the most powerful being in the planet need a human to write on stone? Couldn't create a computer? So I have zero faith in Abrahamic religion, but what I do know is that there's some truth that you can learn from it if you read it the right way, but if you follow it like it's the word, it's not. Regarding Noble Drew Ali, Ali is not an African name. The Fez is not an African hat. So while I have a great respect for the knowledge and mathematics of our brothers from the Science Temple, I met with some of them, and some of the 5%ers that come from Nation of Islam, they all are following the same imperial religions. Everybody takes our stuff, switch it up, tell us to worship Mecca, or tell us to worship the Israel where these white people are now. No.
No one's telling you to do anything.
Going back.
All right. Hold on, gentlemen. Hold on, because y'all all trying to talk at one time. I see we done hit a good nerve here. Let me bring in Sister Ngoni.
Can I say something first? Because I have been
waiting. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ebony. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I fit in with this illustrious group of intelligent people, but my thinking would be this, that I hear the research, the importance of research and studying, knowing your culture, knowing your history, knowing what's happening in the world currently. What I wonder is what people do with the knowledge that they research and how they move forward our community. This is my experience of, in the 70s, late 70s, 80s, like a lot of people, I was also attending Pan-Africanist groups and talking about Back to Africa movements, looking at how we could work with, finding ourselves, with our African brothers and sisters and what we do there in terms of how we trade and where we want to put our resources, how do we invest in the future, not necessarily focusing on the West, but looking at how we can rebuild the African continent.
Uh-oh, we lost her. All right. Well, until she come back, let's bring Sister Ngoni in. Sister Ngoni, are you there?
Yes. Greetings, Mr. Talk. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
Greetings to the other panelists. It's very dynamic discussion, and I just wanted to ask a question in regards to what some of the gentlemen or the Sister Adwa thinks about what should be done about the force of globalization and the force of transhumanist movement in regards to the plans to rebuild. And, I hear a lot of talk about Pan-Africanism. And I'm not being defeatist, but I'm just saying I think these are forces that are acting upon us, as well as forces from radiation fallout from Fukushima, which is rewriting our DNA, and it's affecting, you know, our way of life totally. And we're being forced off the land, not only in America, but around the world. They're pushing farmers off their land around the world. They've been throwing people off their land in Ghana for the last five years that I'm aware of, and corporations are coming over there throwing biofuels. So there's another force moving, and I just wanted to insert that into the conversation and see what people thought about globalization, transhumanist movement, and what do we do about radiation fallout that's changing and rewriting our DNA.
Well, let me say something to that, though, sister. And I also wanted to say that, I know you was asking the sister, but I'm going to say this to you, sister. It's a sad state of affairs. The only time all of that will stop is when this devil's gone. That's the only way. And right now, this devil's in control of this planet, and this is that's the way he's willed it. He wants this, everything you're saying here. So, you know, there's nothing that we can do right now. The best that we can do as the original people of this planet is find another place where we can live in harmony with each other. And I'm saying that it would be better a country that don't have no gold and stuff like that. As long as it's got fertile land, that's the best place for us to go, man. Because if it's got gold and silver and stuff like that, this devil, we're going to be in war straight away from the off. He won't let us go to that place.
We go to a plantation.
I'm sorry. I don't agree with you, Supreme. Well, I feel like, sorry, guys, my phone went off. But what I think is some people have a romantic idea about the future and how we can preserve ourselves as a race. You know, half my family in the 1980s went back to Ghana and, you know, and built their homes and, you know, now they are fully integrated into that society. They were serious about, you know, having a life that wasn't about the West. And really, you know, walking the talk of, well, I want to be integrated into the society that's not about this society. And a lot of people talk about it, but they're not going to make any moves. We just sit here and cry about, you know, what's going on, what the system's doing.
But sister,
just prepare to make a move to go and do something different so you can have something different. I'm fed up of hearing people romanticizing about the devil and what they're doing. Are you prepared to get off your
sister,
bus and move somewhere else and do something different?
Sister, this is the thing. Even though your relatives went to Africa, they're still getting pillaged. They're still getting robbed by the white man. Still.
Well, no, they're
so
not.
It don't even
make
sense.
No,
yeah.
And Supreme, the misrepresentation of what's happening on the continent politically, economically, and socially, brother, you've got to stop doing that. And particularly, and this is no disrespect, I don't think you've ever been to the continent.
I haven't been.
That's not
continent.
Okay. Was just hold on, here's what I'm saying. This concept that the white man is ruling the globe, where does that come from? And where is the proof of that? The white man does not rule the planet. That's what you said, brother. You said he rules the planet.
Hold on. So what happened with Tracy? Zimmerman's not unhappy to him. But if that was black cops who did that, who did the Eric Garner situation, they would have been done and locked up in jail already. Are you trying to say a black man could have got away with that shit? Do you think a black man could have got away with what Zimmerman did? Are you trying to say, so I'm dealing with who's controlled.
What I want you to do is translate that into the white man is ruling the planet. How do you get that out of that? That he got away with murder saying that the white man rules the planet. How do you connect those two?
Deal with dictionary definition of the word devil.
Hold on. I think it was just said you know, the definition of the devil is different from everyone else. Now, it's no secret. I'm being quite serious right now, because it's no secret that Supreme says the devil. He's speaking of Europeans, Caucasians, whatever you want to call them. So that is who you're talking about. But my question, in listening to him speak and everyone else, is who is the real devil? Now, and the reason why I'm asking this question is because, you know, I grew up where we had our own neighborhoods. We had our own grocery stores and things of that nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as we've become more technologically advanced or, you know, I guess more educated, you know, we've moved out of our own and assimilated into other neighborhoods along with other ethnic groups. So, you know, if that's the case, I mean, we're sitting here, we're talking all this great stuff, but how can we bring it back? How can we actually bring it back to where we can educate our own, like we said before, and build our neighborhoods up where we had it before? And we have now. See, that's very, I guess, intricate part of it. With all the information and the knowledge that we have now.
Yeah. What are we doing?
We're still spinning our wheels doing the same thing, and we're still not building our own. So,
building the devil's house. You think that you can come and build and just put a bed in my living room and you're living in my house?
Yeah. Can I tell you what my family did? They actually went to Ghana with nothing. They went to Ghana with little, probably, let me tell you, between them, probably about £1,000. That's little or nothing to go to a country you don't know. They were born here in the UK, Africa, Caribbean heritage. They've been in Ghana now nearly 25 years, right? And they have built a community. They've built a community. They've built schools for their children. They are self-financing. They've never had to come back to the UK for anything, okay? And so what are you trying to say, that there isn't a possibility? If you wanted to create something and do something different, you couldn't? Of course you could. A lot of the times it's about the mind. That's the devil, the mind, the limitations that you set on yourself. Yes, we've got things that limit us out there, but in a global economy, right, I don't think we have too many excuses left. That's my point. If you want to do it, you go and do something.
That's exactly what it is. There's too many excuses, and as long as everyone has an excuse, no one looks for an answer. And as Sister Ngonya said earlier, how can we – this is global. And so because this is global, what do? You start with yourself. And so when you start with yourself, you realize what is attacking you is not because of the physical things that you have, obviously, because you don't have the physical things. So what is it attacking? Your spirit. And so what is your spirit? This is all spirituality. And when you realize that right there, then you'll know exactly what you're dealing with. And for the brother that said that affairs is not anything that's part of our heritage.
Yeah, the word fez,
it comes from Morocco. It comes from Morocco, and it comes from the Barbara Coast. And there's actually a city that's named F-E-Z-F-E-S, if you look at the etymology of the word, and it is the third largest city in Morocco. So I wanted to share that with you when you say that the Fezes and whatnot are not part of the Moorish American or any African Americans.
You're talking about the Ottoman Empire in Africa. Come on now. The Ottoman Empire that spread. I mean, we actually...
All right, you're breaking up, Stanley. You're breaking up. All right, Mr. Michigan, you were trying to say something?
Yeah, I was going to the brother is correct. The Fez is absolutely an African artifact. It's all over Egypt, engraved in stone. I have pictures of it. I touched it. I took pictures next to it. So the Fez is, in fact, an African artifact. I did want to clear that up. Now,
everything is ours, brother.
Yeah. This persisting knot that we got in our shoe. Now, the brother said, Father Marcus Garvey was Mr. International, and you won't go wrong.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I said is, that's a great. He's a great starting point when you know that you've checked your spirit and you want to follow someone that had a beautiful.
That's from the back. So that's not what you said. Okay, but let me move on.
I'm just letting you know what it is.
Yeah, but that's not what you said.
He's a good man to follow. Would you agree or would you not agree that Marcus Garvey is a great role model?
He is a great. Absolutely, he is the latest technology of liberation. That's exactly who
we should
be following. And no one else. All right. The persistent about the radiation and the other global dominating tactics. You know, Hayes Wilson, he said it was during a lecture, and he asked the students, why does the white man do what he does? And he allowed about 20 people to give him an answer. And no one gave the answer he gave. He said the main reason the white man does what he does is because he can. Meaning, I'm not making him a god. In other words, he's positioned himself
Why would that do that?
Hold on, brother. He has positioned himself politically, economically, and he's organized himself to be in a position to do that. In other words, 100 years ago, we weren't talking about globalization and radiation changing the DNA. So now, let me ask the sister this. If, in fact, we had picked up the ball when Marcus Garvey handed it to us and kept along that path, do you think we'd be having a conversation about white global domination?
Nope. May I respond? Because I'm the one who asked the question. Asked the question about what
we wouldn't even be having this conversation about.
Let me respond, please. I didn't say anything about white globalization. I said a force of globalization. And Frank, you asked a question. Let me answer it. The 13 colonies was globalization when they were formed because they were chartered corporations by King George. So globalization just didn't start in this century. It's been here all along.
So that's my response. From Alexander the Great.
Briefly say that the Fez, brothers are confusing. The Fez comes from the Arabian Torboosh, T-O-R-B-O-O-S-H. Just because something is in Africa doesn't mean it's original African. It comes Now, the fact that they took ideas from Egypt, no one can deny, but we can't say all these names and Muslim names and Arabian stuff is African originally, because it's not.
Egypt,
I mean, just look it up, people.
Hold on. All right. There's 4 minutes left in their live show. So if you're not on the phones, you need to get on the switchboard 347-838-8622 so you can continue to hear the show live once we go into overtime. If you're in the chat room, you're okay. You can stay in the chat room and monitor and read the comments also, but you also would not be able to hear the show live any longer. All right? And, man, I'm telling you, I'm loving this because we're having a conversation and it's with love, but yet it's passionate at the same time. And I'm really enjoying this. Somebody was calling me a minute. Who called me?
Yeah, that Michigan. They got two quick things, bro, with the sister.
Say again?
Listen. In answer to the sister. Listen. If African people would have continued the organization, we wouldn't have time to be talking about the 13 colonies, where they're located, what they're spraying in the air. They wouldn't even be in a position to spray that shit in the air because the Africans, we wouldn't have allowed it. We would have been positioned to prevent that. So you're still back to the same dynamic.
That's why I'm the white man's the devil, Mickey.
May I respond? I agree with you, brother.
Let me make the last point. And to the brother, I think it's Hotel.
May I respond, please? I agree with you,
yes,
brother, that may very well fact what you just said. But what I was doing was just trying to ask a question about what's going on now, not what was going on back then. That's all I was doing. And that is a factor of what's going on now. So I don't know what would have happened if we had have done or made other decisions back then. I really don't know. But I will agree with you that it's possible, yes, that maybe that wouldn't be happening now. I don't know.
Okay. And the brothers...
You know, there's some comments in the chat room about chemtrails and so forth. Well, you see, people want to make mockery, but this whole planet is being re-engineered. It's called geoengineering.
Who's re-engineering it?
So you can make jokes about chemtrails and geoengineering and radiation from Fukushima and all of that, but it's happening now if you do a little research about it.
Yeah, it was called seeding when it first came out. It was used for Ho Chi Minh Trail when they wanted to flood that to get at the Vietnamese. And there was a program that was created in the early 20s, late 30s, and it was at the United Nations. It was stated that they would never use it in warfare, but they never stated they couldn't use it against their own people. And so they've been using it against their own people ever since. But to get back to the answer, and the thing is I stated, and what I'm hearing is, it's a lot of debates going on, but there's nothing that's debatable. The thing is the only time you can have something that's debatable when you know for a fact that you have an answer, okay? Everything else is just lascivious conversation. It's just going back and forth. It's everywhere. The thing is when you go ahead and research what's called action theory and the five constraints of action theory and you break those down, you'll see exactly what's going on. This is the whole system. This is their system. It goes into the isometric terms. It goes into geometry. It goes into everything. However deep your mind can fathom, it goes into it. It goes all the way into Sigmund Freud and Einstein and things of this nature if you love the string theory. So it gets into that also. But in order to know what the problem is, you have to be willing to research the problem. And that way there's nothing that's debatable. And when you walk and you know your spirit is pure in what you're doing, you're going to accomplish it. That's what men and women have lost. They have lost the ability to create. So what they do is they tear down. These words that I'm hearing right now are very destructive. If there are certain things that are not done before calls are made to shows like this right here, then every evil entity or spirit of confusion comes in and it pollutes everyone. I just refuse to allow that to happen. And so my thing is, as Mr. Talk said earlier, he loves the compassion and the love of men and women are hungry and they really want to know. But the thing is in the Genesis and also the middle and also this is the end, I've given the answer. That is called action theory. I've given the man his name, Mr. Parsons. I mean, that's all it is. It's five constraints that was created in the early 1900s that they're using on men and women right now. Once you know what those constraints are, you can take those constraints off of you, and when you start researching what your birth certificate is and that you do have what's called 20X, it's called a 6133, a 1087, all these different over 92 treasury accounts that's created off of one man and one woman so that they can have what's called, they can borrow against what's called debt credit. And so this is all this is. It's just them trying to raise what's called the national debt ceiling so they can incur more debt in your name. Even though your name has gotten lost, it's called isometric terms where your name gets lost. And so then these theories come up. And so it gets into a little deeper thing about how they come up with their theory. But when you study what's called the epistemology of what it is that they're doing, then you know how to supersede everything. Because when you deal with epistemology, you're dealing with the facts of it. Because you are infinite. They are finite. And so because of that mind state, they can only come up with theories and theologies and psychological and isms and all these other little terminologies to continue to exploit you. Study those little simplest five things right there by Mr. Parsons, and I guarantee you, you'll see exactly where they got you and how to get
Parsons,
out of
it. Parsons, is he the all one right. who worked for NASA? Is that the one you're talking about?
Pardon me?
The one who worked for NASA, is that the one you're talking about? Jack Parsons, are you talking about?
I didn't go into far as that far. I know he was a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and he was into physics and things of nature. But my thing is, titles don't impress me. My thing is that when someone takes his information and they use it against me, I see a weapon. And so my thing is I tear the weapon down, and I take it apart to find out exactly how the weapon works. And I put the weapon back together, and I make sure that when I shoot that bullet, it shoots and it aims it correctly, and it hits exactly what it's supposed to. And that's how we were supposed to do. When we were doing things in the day, we would tear things apart. Growing up, my mother, at the age of 4 and 5 years old, giving me radios and irons and things of this nature right here, tear that apart, take it apart and fix that. It's not working. And you're talking about 4, 5, 6 years old. This is what I'm doing. So I've always been the type to tear things apart. Computers. Never took a computer course in my life, but I can tear a laptop computer or any type of computer television apart and put it together and make it work better than it did before. That's the mind state of creation. Mm-hmm. Not because someone said that I couldn't do it, but because someone said, never told me that I couldn't do it. So when you get out of the mind state of that, I can't, and say, I could. The word not should not be in your vocabulary at all.
You raise some great points, but where I definitely don't agree is your suggestion that most of these conversations today have been destructive. We are at a state of war being killed. Of course, there's going to be emotion involved, but also people with different strengths and different levels of understanding. So if I come to the table and I think I know something about A, and somebody schools me emotionally, I don't see that as negative. I see that as love because we're being beaten up. And vice versa, if I bring something, I'm an emotional person because I see our people getting killed. I get harassed in my community. Kids, one died 2 days ago. Right, not far from me. I don't think it's negative to have this emotion. We don't have to be soulless. We got to think Jesus comes from Horus. The Fez comes from African Egypt. I mean, but we get stuck on what they did instead of saying the Christianity comes from Hebrewism. And Hebrews were originally black people. And all I do in my thinking is think it's got to be black and African. Where are they hiding it? That's my whole research thinking.
Well,
Let me say something.
Everybody hold on, because I need to get Chris in here. Chris been waiting for a good 11 minutes now.
Okay.
So let me get him in. All right, Mr. Chris, we finally got you in, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Love the conversation, as always. But I want to jump in real quick while I charge up my phone before I die out and just talk about, you know, modern-day slaves today, how they're really worse off than what, like I said before.
Teaching, bro.
Slaves that were in bondage or on ships and things like that, we modern-day slaves today get stuck in the past. And it's charged up now. I got it. And what we need to do, including myself, because I get into that slavery thought a lot on as a modern-day slave, we need to, I think it was a lady said that the world is changing, and what was the word she said? It's changing and evolving, and it's a new world right now. And we can't really worry or listen to, really focus. We can't use what Marcus Garvey and those people are great. Their methods, even Jesus' methods, some of his methods, or Einstein. Today, we should be so far advanced on what people did 2, 4, 8,000 years ago. It's ridiculous. They should be waking. If they were here today, we'd be like, wow. If they only knew the advancements that they have so far beyond what we did. But we want to still stick into the 50s and the 40s and the 1500s about slavery and everything. And that's one of, I don't think it's the self-destruction of words. Living in the past is one of the biggest downfalls that this whole society will destroy themselves with.
Okay. Let me say something, you know, Annie. Me growing up here, the sister was telling me about the 70s. I wasn't even born in the 70s, you know. And I started to know about Africa and the great achievements of Africa. I didn't learn that in school. I learned that in my early 20s. I learned that when I was about 22. And my friend showed me a John Henrik Clark DVD.
And he said, look, bro, look at this. That's how I came. So that I don't really listen to what the elders say, because the greatest, the main thing that I never got told when I was younger, and that's why I kind of pissed off school when I was younger. I didn't care for school, because my elders never told me that this is a racist society that you live in. I thought for you to be racist, I didn't know about institutional slavery, nothing. And I thought it was me. I always blame myself. I've got a lot of friends who are depressed right now because they keep on putting the blame on them. They don't understand the society that they live in. And if like I said, if an elder ain't telling me, that the white man, that we live in a racist society and the white man is not our enemy, he ain't telling me that the white man's my enemy, then I can't listen to nothing that he's got to say. Bottom line, I can't listen to nothing that elder's got to say, because set the path. I don't even know why black folks, I can't understand how my family ain't got no business. They got their houses, but they ain't got, there's no business in my family. My family's been in from the 50s, ain't no family business, nothing. Look at the Asians, look at the Indians and all that. You understand? I can't understand how we're so poor behind.
Can I say something?
I'm only 30. Yeah, I'm going to let you say something, but I'm just trying to say that that's why I can't listen to the elders now. Because as far as I'm concerned, my generation is going to take over now. You know,
go ahead, Evan. Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say your generation, you're right. The generation, the fourth, fifth, sixth generation are going to take over. But on what basis are you going to take over? Are you going to take over by learning from the lessons of the past so that you can make better decisions in the future? And all of that history is important. You know why? Because nothing is new in the world. It's something you need to learn. Nothing is new. Everything has happened before and will happen again. Right? So the question... I'm going to finish, right? So the question for you as a young man, black man in this world, is to find out what is it that I can bring, how can I navigate my way through and create something that my family didn't create to do something that hasn't been done, by changing my mindset. And you change your mindset by understanding
what this is a mindset I never had.
But your negative, your negativity and the fact that you are so locked, listen to yourself, play back the tape.
You're not even letting her talk.
Because you know what, if you listen to yourself, and I'm glad this stuff is taped, because maybe one day you'll sit and listen and hear your conversation, it is locked in a, I can't do, it's not possible, they didn't do it, so we can't do it, he's a devil, so it isn't possible. Well, you know what, to me,
you said your family didn't build businesses.
Where's your business? You're a young man with a fresh head in a society where you've got opportunities. Where is your business?
I'm trying, sister. I had a business the other day, but it fell flat. So I had to stop doing it and start to work now again for the devil.
Listen to the ancestors, then. The ancestors would have helped you out. Like she's just stated, then, if those mistakes were made in the past and the ancestors told you that if you do it this way right here, that you will not make the same mistakes that we make, and if you had researched what the ancestors did, you wouldn't have made those mistakes. Let me say this real quick, and I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to say this, and it's going to shock men and women once again. But the white man, or the European, once again, is not your enemy. You are the enemy of the white man or the European or however you want to call them. Why? Because they are the minority race. Just because they call you the minority doesn't mean you're the minority. When you look at this 0.1% of who they are, if you breed with them, you have the dominant gene. You're going to destroy them. You're going to annihilate their class of individuals. And as the brother said earlier, yes, they come from us. Yes, they do. They're a strain of what's called the albino race. But this is the point right here. When you keep blaming everyone instead of being a man and saying that I'm going to stand on my own 10 toes and I'm going to cut my own path, then you're going out to discover. Otherwise, you're just hiding in the village. Get a book called Who Moved My Cheese. that's an excellent little small book that's very easy to read, it's easy to comprehend, and Fortune 500 companies make sure that it's a prerequisite of hires. And it's called Who Moved My Cheese. Very excellent.
I'm talking about knowing via enemy. I'm talking about knowing via enemy. That's what I'm talking about, knowing your enemy.
Well, I have something I would like to say to Supreme also. You know, Supreme, you're talking about, you know, going back to Africa and, you know, you're very passionate about being of African.
Let me
finish what I'm saying. If I'm correct. May I please finish what I'm saying, please? I just wanted to share with you that your statement about not listening to people over 40 wouldn't work too well in Africa, because when I lived in Africa, they revere their elders and they use and listen to the wisdom of their elders, like Ebony said. Even if their elders have made mistakes, they know to learn from those mistakes. So I just wanted to say, if you go back to Africa with what you're saying on your mind, don't listen to anybody over 40, you know where you'll find yourself? They'll put you in a sack and throw you off over the ocean.
No, that's not true. I'm going to do it. If my grandmother gives me medicine, she makes me old bush tea from Jamaica, or she mixes, goes to the shops and buys herbs, and she might give me, say, oh, you got a cold? I've got some bush for you. I'll drink that. I'm going to listen, but when it comes down to me building it, when it comes down to me dealing with this enemy, and she's telling me other than that, the truth that this white man's the enemy and this society is against me, right, I'm not listening to her. Bottom line. But it, you know, so I know when to listen. It ain't no me no disrespect to the elders. Never that. Never that.
It's disrespect. It's disrespect.
I'm just saying, I ain't listening
I'm 47 years of age.
She's saying.
Yeah. I'm 47 years of age, and you know one thing, that if my mom was here, my mother was here right now, she would never tell you that when her lips were moving, were my lips moving, because that is one of the most ultimate disrespectful things to do, is when another man or woman, and as Mr. Talk stated, and I think what it is like Ebony said, if you play this back and hear yourself, and I think that's what it takes sometimes, because when I say a lot of things, I have to go back and I have to listen to what it was that I said. And I say, well, I didn't say anything wrong, but I wish I could have had done that better. You see what I'm saying? And so you can always improve, but if you hear yourself speak on this show right here and you think that you said everything perfectly, then you're not growing. You're stagnant. And that's a very dangerous place to be, because I can hear the passion in you that you truly do want to know and you really do want to apply wisdom. But you have to check your spirit in, and you have to say that it's not based up on just because I sat down with my mom and had a cup of tea, but what did I hear her say? I listened to my mother, but what did I hear? And that goes back to, just because you can does not mean you should. And so that's what gets a lot of young men and women in trouble, just because you can.
Yeah.
You start thinking with your lower half instead of your upper half, instead of realizing that your lower half is just to support your upper half to make sure that wisdom is applicable. And so that's all it is, man. It's a very simple thing.
Where was you when I was younger? Where was brothers and sisters like you when I was younger, growing up in South London? You understand?
Hold on. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. International, because I think he did ask you the question. So go ahead.
Where I was sitting at the feet of the elders, and while they were speaking, I was listening. I wasn't outside playing basketball. I wasn't doing all this other stuff. I was in independent thought. So when they told me something, I went and researched it. I didn't just let it go in there and just, even though it was a lot of stuff that was so far-fetched to me, I was like, wow, where's all this stuff coming from? And why am I the one that's getting all this information? Why are they coming and attacking me with it and this and that? And I had to ask my mom later on in life and ask her, why was it that I was, I'm one of 10 boys and 5 girls, very large family. And so I'm the 7th born. And for some reason, she's told me, she said, when you were in your bassinet, I told her, I said, stop right there. I said, don't say anything else. I told her, I'm going to show you exactly how well intent my thought process is with identifying with her conversation. I told her, I said, my grandmother, your mother was standing to the right of you. You were standing on the left of her. And she looked at and said, looked at me in the bassinet and said, there's something different about him. He's not the same as the other ones. And she almost fainted. And so when you pay attention to really, truly what's going on, you'll realize that you're not too old to learn and you're not too young to learn. And so where I was at, young man, I was at the feet of the elders, because when I was researching, and like you said, with Dr. Henry Clark and all these other scholars out here that you're saying that, you know, you don't listen to them, this and that, whatever, I'm telling you right now, that's yours. That's your inheritance. Those men did, and women did not put that stuff out here for you just to be sitting back wasting their time. These are our elders, and these are elemental principles. If you get into it correctly, and you'll see what belongs to you. And when you get that epiphany and say, oh, I got it now. Now I see what they were talking about. Then you're going to go ahead and uplift humanity. Right now you're kind of stagnant, and that's the reason why it's good to sometimes sit back, especially someone that's older telling you that you need to listen to what you're saying, because a lot of your words are just all over the place. And it's emotional. As you said, you're very emotional. There's nothing wrong with that. But you do not want to put what you may have every now and then, which is called pearls of wisdom, you don't want them to just be thrown out there where everybody else is just not even paying attention to them, and you're walking over your own pearls of wisdom. Because you can't, no one can pull the wool over my eyes. And I know, sister, I've talked to Sister Ngona on the show before, and I've spoken with Mr. Talk and Ebony, is it Empress or Princess? So I've listened to her show. I know the articulation and the mind state and how well glued and put together they are and their passion for what they do. So when they speak, I'll listen to them. I'll sit back because I'm like, okay, she said what she say, okay, yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. And so you eat this food. This is food for your spirit. That's what this is when the elders speak to you. It's food for your spirit. If you don't listen, you're going to starve.
Wow. Ooh, boy, you said a whole lot, Mr. International. Oh, man, I'm telling you. And thank you for the compliment also. Yeah, it's Ebony Empress. Yeah, I guess she could be a princess, too, if she wanted to. But it's Empress. Anyway, I've put everyone on mute right now because it's 4:20, and I have such a large number on the line. It's going to take a while for us to get through your final words. So that's why you're on mute if you're wondering. I'm not being facetious or mean or anything like that. All right? So we're going to let, since Supreme did start this last dialogue, we're going to let him give his final words first. All right, Mr. Supreme, you on, man.
Oh, I'll see you later, bro. Hey, you know, this is just a load of everyone just putting words in my mouth. And I said, if my elder ain't telling me that the white man's the devil, or that I live in a racist country, which is the truth, I'm saying, if I don't hear that truth, then I can't listen to what you got to say as an elder. Bottom line. So when the sister's telling me that, oh, well, it's not all the white man and this, that's not the truth. This white man's our enemy. They've put us in this situation that we're in. Bottom line. Bottom, there ain't no games with that. And then I will listen to her if she's telling me she knows who the enemy is. If she don't know who the enemy is, I ain't listening to what elders got to say. If it's someone my age, I'm going to try reason with them. But apart from that, I ain't got no time for that. They ain't bought shit. The elders out here, they ain't done nothing. They've been out here all this time and ain't done a damn thing. So it's pointless. I'll see you later, brother.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Supreme. We'll talk to you later. All right. That was very interesting there. Interesting. All right. So let me bring Chris in. Go ahead, Mr. Chris.
Yeah. I'm with you, Supreme. You know what? You learn through trial and error, my brother. You know, the great books of this, what they said, and what the philosopher said, there's plenty of people out here in this world that can quote back and forth and have lots of intelligent ignorance. It ain't saying nothing today. These modern-day elder slaves ain't about nothing. It's trial and error, man. Go for self. I'm telling you. I was looking at some videotapes of that riot that took place in St. Louis. What did I see? I see the parents taking their little babies into the stores that they riding in. Now, what are they learning from that? Now, these are supposed to be the elders, right? And the the wisdom of this generation to teach the youth how to do right and do the right thing like Spike Lee, right? Man, trial and error. I wouldn't listen to nobody on this phone until you listen to yourself first. With all this wisdom, this education about what this book say, who to go to, I got the answer. You got more of the answer than any of us do. And that's what I believe in, too. If you want to go to Africa, go to Africa, wherever your hearts take you. If you believe that this is a racist country, based on what you see, not through somebody else's eyes or what the elders said 40, 50 years ago, what's going on today? Just walk outside and look around. Because can't nobody write the book better than you can or I can. It's trial and error today. You know, I'm with you on a lot of these elders today. They either doped up, talking foolishly with intelligence with their PhD, and they've been in Brazil and all these other countries and came back with nothing. Go for what you feel is best for you, because that's what I'm doing. Y'all take care.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for those comments as well. All right, Miss Ebony, you're on.
Hi. Great show, Mr. Talk. I normally try to get in on some shows when it gets so political, but hey, I love the show tonight. I have to say, Supreme wound me up a little bit. The reason being that, you know, I have met so many people like Supreme, and there's so many people in our community that want to do it alone or feel like they have the answers. You know, the answers are inside of you, but I think also there's a whole body of evidence out here of things that could go right, things that could go wrong, people who have chosen different paths, and some of it we get right and some of it we get wrong. And all I'm saying is, you know, hear everything and then make a decision about what you want to do with your own life. And I think we can make better choices. We can make better choices than the previous generations, but we have to learn from what they did. We have to understand how they did what they did and why they did it. And maybe we choose something different, or we choose the same, because all of it isn't negative. All of it, some people have done some positive stuff and have been hugely successful, you know, in what they've done. And so I think, you know, it's all there for you. I think that's the great thing about the world that we live in, you know, and with the introduction of technology, hey, you can go into the internet, you can find whatever you want, you can find information, education, whatever you want to take you on your journey to wherever you want to go. Yes, we have to deal with the forces out there, and I'm not going to say that we don't live in racist, in the West world, it's not racist and there aren't racist countries. Racism is everywhere, and if it's not racism, it may be, you know, differences in, you know, tribal differences, ethnic differences, prejudice on all sorts of levels in different ways can affect you. But at the end of the day, you know, you are still you. And I always feel that you're the biggest weapon in this world. And if your mindset is right and you educate yourself well and you understand who you are in this world, you can have anything you want and create whatever you want. And I don't think you can be limited or should be limited by what goes on around you. But I understand the forces. If people decide they're going to take you out, well, hey, that is life. You have no control. You get into an aeroplane, you know, you put your belt on and you just go for the ride. And that's life. That is life. You just go for the ride and wherever it takes you. But at the same time, you have your mind. So you can decide how you will manage yourself. And that's the only thing you really have control over at the end of the day. I just hate negativity. I think the more positive you are, the more chances you have when you have the right spirit within you, the more chance you have of gaining that success or whatever it is you want, achieving it. So that's where I'm at. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, ma'am, for those comments as well. And then we'll be seeing you tomorrow for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, all right. And now we have Sister Ngone. You're up. Sister Ngone? Sister Ngone, are you there? Okay, she may have herself on mute. All right, we'll come back. Let's see. Brother Kenyatta. You're up.
Hey, brother.
Wow, so many mixed emotions. One thing that comes out of this discussion is that there's always one topic that most of us will not agree on, and that's the topic that stops us from being family. Whether it's going to Africa or Brazil, or whether the white man is the enemy versus we are our biggest enemy, or whether it's you have a Latino wife who's black, there's something, or Christianity, Islam. You notice that there's always something we can't get together as a people and go to the grocery store and agree on it. So we have big mental problems. He was very right on some things. Our elders definitely didn't succeed, but it wasn't that they didn't try. Many of them died damn trying, right? So we can't all the elders for not succeeding, but he is right in the sense that very often the elders don't set the right path. However, you know, I'm basically an elder because I'm days from 50 years old. So my thinking is when an elder is talking, younger people, out of respect, should listen, right? Even when I don't agree sometimes, I have to catch myself because I'm very talkative. You listen. So he has some good points. He has the heart in the right place. But he needs, I think, a bit more patience, because if we're not patient, the system has a setup for us. And by the way, I think it's pretty clear from when I talk, I really don't think the devil concept and the white man is all the problem, is it? I think greed and ignorance are the problems. If we educate people and if we're not greedy, not that some whites won't be doing nonsense, but we can overcome this. And I hope we can before it's too late, because we're losing the battle, and I love you all. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kenyatta, and thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you tomorrow as well. All right. So last but not least, Mr. International.
Good day, good day, good day. All right. Beautiful show today, and I think that what kind of sticks in my spirit is what the young brother said. Where were we when he was growing up? And as Empress Ebony was speaking, I was writing at the same time that she was speaking, because there was a lot of information coming to me, and it was coming to me for this young brother right here, and I hope that he does listen to this again. But I just want to read this final note that I have here, and this is pertaining to him. Put it this way, science is knowledge, a body of self that can be rationally explained and reliably applied, forming testable explanations and predictions about you and the universe. The thing is you have to research. And irregardless to what it is that whoever dropped the ball, you have to research to know yourself, because you are a science factory. And everything that was created on this planet came from you. And everything that exists is based upon the DNA structure of you. Whether it's a computer, whether it's a chip, or whatever it is, everything comes from the African man and the African woman. And when men and women realize that that is the case, and you start to research with that mind state, and you'll be able to see yourself in every program they've ever created. Good day.
All right. Good day. Good day to you, sir, also. And thank you for joining us, and hope to hear you tomorrow also. All right. Let's see if Sister Ngoni is there. If not, we'll get my final word. Sister Ngoni, are you there? Sister Ngoni, are you there? Going once. Sister Ngoni. Going twice. Sister Ngoni. Sister Ngoni is not there. The range is not clear. All right. I'm sorry, y'all. That's the military in me. I'm sorry. But anyway, what a great show. I mean, outstanding. You know, and as my guest in the chat room put, a very lively discussion and passionate at the same time. Now, you know, in the end, we kind of hit that wall called the wall that's called stubbornism or just having a closed mind. I always say, if a man is walking around in, you know, I don't care if he's in a city or, you know, a very populated area, you know, if he's walking around with a closed mind, he's walking around in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness. Okay, he really is. Now, as far as this elder thing, Supreme say, where were we? Okay, where were we when that? Well, honestly, Where were we? As most, a lot of elders will tell you, I was where you are now. You know, and you know, everyone cannot be considered an elder. You know, I know everybody likes to say, well, if I'm older than you and you're elder, well, that really doesn't make you an elder. You know, when you think of elders, you think of wisdom. Now, if you 40, 50 years old and you hanging out in clubs with your kids, no. You know, in that instance, no. But if you're someone that is grounded, has succeeded in some things, even if you haven't succeeded, you know, as a lot of the older generations begins to pass on into the next life, you know, it's interesting to sit down and talk to them. You know, now Supreme said, well, I want to talk to them because they didn't do nothing. They failed. But the question is, did they really fail? And you know what the beauty of this whole thing is? Even though they fail, they realize how they failed, what their failure was, and they do not hesitate. They will not hesitate to explain to you what happened and how you can avoid it. However, before you are able to receive be receptive to it, you have to open your mind. You have to open your mind. You know, but never disrespect the elder. Please. You know, my mom was still here. You know, man, I don't care how old I got. You know, I never disrespected her. I never will. And same for my father. You know, it is just that way. Now, and here on the show, you know, there's a lot of wisdom that is being put out. Are they from elders? Maybe. Are there from people who have the knowledge and the experience? Maybe. But if you determine to lock all that out and just decide, you know, you're gonna ride that horse by yourself, and no matter what, when you hit the tumbleweeds and the dust storms, hey, that's, you want to go through it by yourself, you go right ahead. Well, I'm listening to an elder telling me another road to go to keep from hitting that dust storm and going through all the tumbleweeds. And those are my last words for the day. All right. Anyway, whoo, man, I'm telling you, I want to thank everybody for participating today. Those in the chat room, great job. Guest 1441, thanks for handling the chat room for me today. I really do appreciate it. Oh, man, all the people who participated in the conversation, Mr. Kenyatta, Sister Ngoni, Supreme, Mr. International, Mr. Michigan, Stanley, Chris, Sister Adwa, you know, and everyone else who's listening, thank you so much. And I really do appreciate your support. You know, I really do. However, you can support me and this show by going to audibletrial.com/letstalk and check it out. Just sign up for the 30-day free thing, okay? Get you a free book. And after this conversation, you got some books to go and look for, right? Right. So go and check that out. They'll have over 150,000 books, over 150,000 titles for you to download at your disposal. So, hey, can't beat that. So go check that out, and you will be also supporting this show. All right. Well, of course, y'all know there will be a show tomorrow, and I haven't come up with a title. I'm working some things in my head, so, and you know, by tonight I have it up, so you can come back and check. I want to say keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And my biggest and best thing I can ever tell you, learn to laugh at yourself. You know, if you learn to laugh at yourself, man, that takes so much pressure off. It really does. You know, I know some people say, well, just learn to say F it. Well, if that's what you want to do. But I think I find it more pleasurable just to laugh. You know, you just laugh, you know, and you'd be surprised how much the pressure just subsides. All right. All right, y'all. We'll be here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. And we're going to have us some fun tomorrow. Just like we did today. And to me, this was fun. It really was, because we had a whole lot of knowledge and personalities and things on the line that shared a lot. You know, not like we agreed with each other, but we did share. And hopefully, you know, some learned, because I learned a lot myself. So, all right, well, we're going to get out of here today. But like I said, thank y'all. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, brought to you by Audible.com. All right, and until tomorrow, y'all. Y'all have a good one. We're out of here.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.